Welcome back, everyone. Tonight's terrifying video, I am bringing you four shocking forest stories. Anything from camping to hiking to simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time when you're in the woods. Now sit back, relax, dim those lights, and let's get spooky. The forest behind my house has always been strange. Ever since I moved here, I've always had refused to go into the forest alone. It always feels like I'm being watched, not by a person, but the forest itself. I know it sounds crazy writing it here, but now I know the truth. My parents went out of town about a day ago. My dad had a conference to go to for work, and my mom decided to tag along. I'm now 17 years old, so they knew I could handle myself for the next week. Anyways, one of my good friends, Jaden, decided to come over for the weekend. We were playing video games for a few hours, and we eventually got bored. Jaden suggested we explore the forest behind my house. Like a ghost hunting thing. I thought that would be fun, so I agreed. It was now about 9:30 at night during the height of winter, so we grabbed jackets, boots, flashlights, and gloves. After gearing up, I went over to my dad's office and grabbed two radios. My dad owns a construction company, so he always has cool stuff in his office. As we ventured out into the forest, I got a dreadful feeling that maybe we shouldn't be exploring this forest at night. I shrugged it off as the forest was just being creepy, and we slowly got deeper into the forest. After about 20 to 30 minutes, I decided to suggest to Jaden we should maybe go back. I think he got the feeling I did earlier because he agreed. As we were turning around, Jaden called out to me. I turned around and saw what he had found. It was a small cave entrance, and he said that we should go explore it. I protested, but he didn't listen to me. Regretfully, I followed him. I tried to keep up with Jaden, but he moved too fast. Eventually, I got lost and started to call out to him. Then out of nowhere, Jaden appeared. He explained that he had found a lady unconscious while he was exploring, and we needed to get her out and contact the authorities. Immediately, I agreed, and I followed him to the lady who needed help. When we got to the location, he was confused. I asked him what was wrong, and he explained that she was gone. I immediately was weirded out and told him we should go. He was still staring at the corner, and I decided to pull him towards me, and then immediately, it looked like he snapped out of a trance. He agreed to leave with me, and we started to make our way out. I was getting a bit spooked, and it looked like he was too. Something was wrong, really wrong. As we exited the cave, I turned around. Jaden was gone. My phone buzzed, and it was a text from Jaden. He said he was sorry that he was late, and that he would be at my house soon. My blood ran ice cold. And as I let the text sink into my mind, I heard a scream come from the cave. A tall, smiling, humanoid creature running on all four limbs exited the cave running at me. I ran. My heart was racing. I was scared crapless. As I ran, I heard it behind me. It caught up to me for a second and slashed at my legs. It hit my left leg, and I yelped out in pain. As I fell over, I realized there was a cliff ahead. Out of options, I got up and limped over to the cliff. Without thinking, I jumped and fell into a body of water. As I plummeted into the ice-cold water, with the last bit of energy I had, I did my best to swim to shore. My leg was still aching, and I needed to find my way out of the forest. I heard a high-pitched scream in the distance, and I knew it wouldn't be long before that thing found me. I had to move fast. I realized after moving deeper into the heart of the forest, I couldn't keep up with my leg. I also realized that the fall down the water aggravated my other leg also. I looked around and spotted a wooden shack. Out of options, I limped towards it, tried the door, and it opened. I was safe, for now. The shack's layout was almost like a tool shed. Many tools on the wall, a shelf in the very back with boxes upon boxes on it. I took out my phone and tried to call the police. As I suspected, I got no signal. Frustrated, I threw my phone against the wall. I was scared, alone, and badly hurt. Just then, I heard the door swing open and the ominous click-off safety on a gun. The figure holding the gun was a man with slick black hair. He looked to be in his mid-50s. He had a long beard also. He asked me who I was and why was I in his tool shed. I explained to him I was lost and hurt and that I needed help. He noticed how bruised I was, and I showed him the gash on my leg. He put the gun down and introduced himself. His name was Darren. Darren helped me up, and I asked him if he had a phone on him. He said no, and explained that you didn't get service on this side of the forest. He did, however, know his way around the forest, and he could take me to the nearest road. I agreed, and followed him in the darkness. Not even 5 feet outside the shack, and I saw another 4 men in animal masks waiting outside. Before I could do anything, I was hit in the head with the butt of Darren's rifle. It all went black. I woke up tied to a tree trunk with Darren staring at me. The 4 men in the animal masks were behind him, holding different assortments of weapons. Darren. Look who's finally awake, just in time. Me. What the hell is going on? Why are you people doing this to me? Darren. You interrupted the cycle. You weren't supposed to escape the forest. The desolate chose you. Me. What the F are you talking about? Please, just let me go. Darren. You were supposed to die. The desolate wishes it. Me. Please, please, I'll give you guys money. Just please let me go. I'm begging you. I won't tell anyone. You have my word. Just then, I heard its scream. It was coming near. With that, the 5 men left, and I was left to die. I started to panic. My heart was racing. I was tied up to a tree, left for dead. I had to find a way out. I then remembered in my pocket I had a pocket knife. For some reason, those crazy bastards didn't take it off of me. I slowly shuffled my hand towards my pants pocket and attempted to grab the knife. I managed to grab it and cut myself free. But then I saw it. The creature found me. As soon as I got up, I tried to run but remembered my leg was hurt. There was no way I could outrun this thing. Just then, Darren and the other 4 men came back. They started coming towards me. But then the creature lunged towards the 5 men, tearing each of them limb from limb as they fought. The amount of gunshots was deafening. I took this chance to escape, and as fast as I could, I got out of there. I could still hear the shrieks of the men and that creature. I had to keep going. I had to get out of this forsaken forest. I just hoped my luck doesn't get worse. All grew silent, and the forest stood still. The hoarse sound of my shallow breath sounded 10 times louder in the still silence. The creature that's in this forest is nowhere to be heard or seen. Looking back, I should have grabbed something to protect myself, even if it was just a sharp frickin' stick. I realize now how close I was to joining those men in death. I was tired, in constant pain, and in constant fear. Minutes turned to hours, and I noticed the forest was getting thinner. The amount of space to walk was decreasing in size. After a moment of realization, I turned around to go back. That's when I saw it. Or rather, I saw myself. I thought my mind was playing tricks on me, and then my doppelganger was moving towards me. I noticed its hand. He was holding something. He was holding a knife. He went into a full sprint, and his face distorted. I felt my soul leave my body and turn around and did my best to try to outrun him. I knew with my injuries I couldn't gain much distance, but I had to try. I tripped over a rock and fell forward. I turned around and noticed he was standing over me, smiling. He lifted the knife and plunged it down towards my chest. I closed my eyes and waited for death to take me. But then nothing happened. It was silent again. I opened my eyes, and a faint maniacal laugh echoed into nothing. I was alive. I breathed a sigh of relief, but then I broke down. I just wanted to leave this forest. I couldn't take it anymore. When I got control of my emotions again, I knew I had to keep going. After what felt like 10 minutes, I came across a crossroads in the path. I could either go left, right, or straight. I decided to go left, but that was a mistake. I know that now. At the time, I was just too tired. I didn't think it could get worse. The scene I saw still haunts me. Dismembered bodies in the trees, blood on tree trunks. So much frickin' blood. It was a scene from hell itself. I couldn't take it. I was sick. I fell to my knees and threw up. When I got up a minute later, I noticed that at the end of the path was a cave entrance. The same cave entrance that started this nightmare. When I got closer to it, I could hear screams from inside, maniacal laughter, then more screams. I can't get them out of my head to this very day. Against my better judgment, I entered the cave. As I was walking through the cave, the twists and turns got nauseating, and then that creature found me again, the same creature that tore those cultists limb from limb. And I think this is its home. It screamed and then laughed as it chased me. I fought through the pain and fear and went as fast as I could through every turn. Eventually I saw it, an exit from the cave. I jumped through, hitting a grassy plain and passing out. I woke up in a hospital, IVs in my arm, and a cast on one of my legs. My whole body looked like it was beaten the crap, and I could see spots where I'd been bleeding heavily. I turned my head and noticed my parents to my side. They looked disheveled and looked at me as if they were looking at a ghost. Later, I found out I was reported missing 5 months earlier, and that the hiker found me passed out outside of a cave a day ago. It's been 2 years since, and I still have not fully recovered. Every once in a while, I'll hear it. I'll see something out of the corner of my eye that resembles that thing. All I can say is that I am glad to be away from that forest. but something keeps trying to lure me back. I pray that none ever goes through what I did. I went camping out at Trinity Lake this October in Idaho. My brother and his mom's family told me how great it was out there. I figured if we did it on a weekday that late into this year, we could be alone. Truly be out on a nature's experience after doing nothing but staying in the city for the past 2 years. What I was not told was that the road out there was a 2-hour crawl through dirt roads, the final 10 miles of which are practically animal trails on the edge of mountains. It was a very rough trip in a big-ass F-250, red flag number one in hindsight. But by the time the roads got that bad, we were so far in, I was committed. We would do this, and it would be a unique experience for both of us. God, I eat those words. When we finally made it to the first campground area on the smallest lake, we just wanted to get out of the truck and couldn't take much more bone-shaking rock crawling. So we did that, meaning we were in a different spot where him and that side of the family had camped farther up on the big lake. Everything with the setup was standard. We had gotten what we needed. We were completely alone, only the firewatch tower 2 miles back and over a mountain if anything went wrong. This should have been red flag number two. But we figured we had enough gear and knowledge if a bear or cougar came along. Another important thing was the rules of that area say no guns. So we didn't bring one. But even as a last resort kind of tool, red flag number three. Not 1 hour after setting up camp all the way, I hear a snap off on the other side of the empty campground while me and him are talking. He didn't notice, but I look to see two giant antlers. I knew what it was immediately. I rushed him quietly into the truck, and a big bull moose sprints into view behind the truck. We didn't freaking know there was moose out there, and they had not seen any when I camped at the main campgrounds earlier in the year. We were not that scared because he ran off immediately after we got some good footage of him by the lake. We just thought it was a rare chance encounter and were kind of in awe at the experience. I know how crazy dangerous moose are, but I never bothered researching the details on their behavior or anything like that. Big mistake, not immediately packing everything and getting out while we still had enough daylight too. We hopped out of the truck, making sure he was long gone, and continued our now much cooler nature trip relaxing and taking photos. Almost 3 hours later, I hear that same kind of cracking, but a lot more of it, and it's approaching our campsite quickly. We are not close enough to the truck with how fast it's coming, so I pull my brother into the tent and just stay perfectly still. I didn't even want to breathe, as five or more moose, with two bulls that seemed to be chasing each other around, sprinted past our campsite on both sides. We could only see out the front flap of the tent, and determine the whereabouts outside of that from the footsteps and what we assumed were mating calls. This time, we were not so excited about it, nearly crapping bricks, and just praying when we got out of the tent that there wouldn't be a lurking moose that hadn't gone with the rest of them. There wasn't, but now there was not enough light to pack everything up and get out the safety. We no longer felt safe, and we're constantly on edge knowing at any moment we may need to get to the truck and have to be aware. The plan was now to pack up as soon as morning broke, and we just had to make it till then. When night came, we actually relaxed again, thinking that with the fire up and it being night, surely we were done with any possible moose in the area. We just wanted to eat and smoke our cigars around the campfire. We had our fire going strong, ate our food, and had our cigars ready. However, we needed a bit more firewood to last for our smoke before bed. So we made a small trip. It was pitch black in that forest, even with our eyes adjusted. The second we got away from the camp to the area that we had been gathering from, me and him were both on edge again. We just got that feeling like something was watching us, just on the edge of the light from my phone. So we hurried up, scurrying back to the campsite like you just turned off the stairs light, and breathed a sigh of relief. The fire was safe. Nothing was out there. Everything was fine. Then, the bone-chilling crunch of one of those thick branches that we had dropped in our hurry, just on the edge of our firelight, directly behind us. Every single instinct and reactionary fiber in my being activated right then. The only word I plainly and coarsely told my brother was, "Truck." I had already made my two strides to the truck, my brother told me after the fact. The way that word left your mouth took me out of freeze mode. It was the most direct, fear-induced command I had ever received. To our horror, the truck had auto-locked. The 1 or 2 seconds it took me to fumble the keys out of my tight, regular pockets and hit that button felt like hell. We jumped into the truck, and I scrambled over to him as he slammed the door to fling the headlights on. Right there, right in front of the fire that we had just been standing at, a bull, staring the truck down. But the part that makes this all so much more effed up, he didn't look like a normal moose. The fur was all patchy, and it looked discolored, like he was rotting on the outside, but still easily taller than the lifted truck. I watched him slowly walk out of the headlights back into the darkness while staring at us. I turned off the lights immediately so our eyes could adjust, and at least we could see around the truck at least. We were freaking out and filled with adrenaline still, but doing so quietly. Neither him nor I could agree on if these next occurrences were just a shared paranoia or not. For nearly an hour at 10 p.m. in the night, we heard heavy footsteps just slowly moving big circles around the truck. Eventually, we stopped hearing anything at all, and the forest was completely silent. We cracked the windows to make sure. Deafening silence. No bugs, no frogs, no owls. Nothing. We sat there an additional 30 minutes listening for anything at all, but still silence. Neither of us wanted to do it, but all our warm gear was in the tent, and it was dropping to 28 that night. We would not fare well in just our normal clothing. So we slowly opened the doors and started to sneak to the tent. The moment we did, footsteps on my side of the forest coming towards us. Both of us fly back into the truck, clicking the lock button like maniacs. I couldn't take it anymore. I nearly lost my cool, but knew I had to keep it for my brother's sake too. It was stalking us. Is it even a frickin' moose? Moose don't do this. It was almost midnight when that frickin' happened. We kept throwing these statements around to each other, trying to rationalize what we were experiencing and how our nice escape from the city had turned into a horror movie. With the unnatural look at the moose that we thought had been keeping us trapped in the truck for an hour and a half, we started talking about it being a skinwalker even. Some might think this would freak us out more, but starting to make things a supernatural event and joking in our dark sense of humor is what helped us calm down. We were still shaken to our core, though, but the fear was stronger than the bite of the cold that was setting in. There was no way in hell we were leaving that truck again until it was morning and we could see. He managed to fall asleep at about 12:30, but the forest was still dead silent, and it put dread in me. It wasn't until nearly 2 that all of a sudden, crickets and the occasional hoot of an owl, the normal forest sounds came back, and I'd stayed up until the temperature reached its bottom for the night. I turned the heater on full blast for a few minutes to stop the unbearable chill so I could sleep, waking up and repeating that every 45 minutes to keep us warm until morning. Then, I opened my eyes to light and shook him awake. We packed in 15 minutes and left. I'm not a story writer, so I'm sorry if this is a sloppy read, if anyone reads this long-ass post at all. But nothing has striked such a primal fear in me ever. I've had guns pointed at me, other dangerous encounters with animals. None of those compared to the terror this incident caused. I now fear camping, and even going into the woods at all. So, the title might be a bit weird, so I'll try to put this in a way that makes sense. Technically speaking, I'm a wildlife conservationist since I do work with protecting endangered species of animals during the day, but most of my time at night, my job requires me to give assistance to entities of the more supernatural kind. I specifically help with situations involving yokai, which is a very bad broad term referring to various creatures and mythological beings of Japanese folklore and urban legends. The job title doesn't really have an official name, rather I coined it when I first started to help out. As for why I have started this kind of work in the first place? Like the yokai, I help. I know what it's like not to find it here in Japan. Since while my mother's Japanese and my father was born and raised in Sydney before he came here for schooling. It probably didn't hurt that I loved learning about mythology and grew up watching Steve Irwin on our tiny living room television. Of course, being a rookie at this job, I've only interacted with spirits of the more harmless variety, at least until a few nights ago. This particular job I was sent on seemed simple enough. I was asked to escort a shrine maiden to an old shrine hidden within the depths of Okigahara Forest. In a recent visit, someone had discovered that a straw doll had been hammered to a tree within the grounds of the shrine, an act meant to be used in cursing someone, and is usually considered illegal here in Japan. Doing this to a shrine is bad enough, but this shrine was here to keep peace with the Tatsuragami, a type of yuri, which is the Japanese term for ghost. That I had never worked with before, let alone seen. Usually the spirit of a fallen deity or that of murdered Japanese noble, Tatsuragami are the type of entity you wouldn't want to piss off. Plagues, famine, natural disasters, events like this capable of destroying an entire village can be traced back to the Tatsuragami. In fact, Tatsuragami are so powerful, your only chances of preventing one from destroying your town is to build them a shrine, keep it maintained, and make sure it's constantly giving them tribute. The spirit in question whose shrine we were sent to was that of an ancient warlord's daughter who lost her life when enemies of her father blazed their village to the ground. Her undead wrath was said to be so immense that the villagers eventually fled, even after her father ordered a shrine to be built to honor her memory. And this shrine was now the reason why 2 young women, myself and the shrine maiden I was accompanying, were traveling through one of the largest and most haunted forests in the world. Due to that, and the occasional mist rolling through the trees, it took the 2 of us a few days to reach our destination. We managed to become good friends while traveling, with her sharing stories of her apprenticeship under her local head shrine maiden, and myself telling about all the yokai I've interacted with. One of her favorites that she wouldn't let me go down was how I nearly got eaten by a Jorogomo on my very first job in my career. Eventually, however, All fun had the wait as we finally approached the land where the village once stood. As we walked through the rotted wood gates of the village, I almost immediately felt a chill run down my spine. Even though I had only been working with yokai for a month, it was enough time to recognize if I was being watched. I exchanged a glance and nod with the shrine maiden next to me, for even if we didn't know exactly where the Teragami was, she knew exactly where we were. Together, we cautiously walked through the ruins towards the shrine in the center, making sure to keep our eyes and ears open for trouble. The sun was barely visible as it was setting in the distance, with our surroundings starting to get darker with each passing minute. Just as we reached the shrine, I was able to make out the doll mentioned before, the other shrine maiden not having the right tools to remove it, hence why I was there. Immediately, the two of us chose to split up, with the shrine maiden using the special tools she brought to repair the shrine itself, while I brought out the hammer to take down the straw doll. Just as I approached the tree, however, I began to feel the slight sensation of heat nearby. I tensed up to this, for by this point the sun had long since set. There was also a light around me, brighter than the small flashlight I had in my bag. I slightly turned my head to look behind me, and what I saw filled me with dread that I could barely describe. To properly describe a Teragami's true form is pretty much impossible, since they are entities so powerful that no mortal mind can comprehend what they truly look like. Even now, trying to think back to what I fully saw not only gives me a headache, but causes me to feel overwhelmed with unfiltered terror. I could describe some of what I was able to make out, since although I couldn't comprehend everything what I was able to see, appeared to be a humanoid shape made of fire and darkness. Through the smoke that surrounded me physically and mentally, I could tell that this humanoid appearance to be a woman in her late teens, early 20s. One of ethereal, unearthly beauty. The one thing I remember most was ashwine eyes, filled to the brim with rage that one would make even the most dangerous of Oni hesitate to draw near. She didn't say a word, but it didn't take much to know that she was angry at whoever had been foolish enough to desecrate her shrine. I knew then that this doll needed to be removed and the tree given treatment as soon as possible. I didn't know what she might have done to the person who left the doll there, and I certainly didn't want to find out. And so, with a polite bow and a mumbled apology to the vengeful spirit, I turned back to the straw doll and used the hammer's claw to pull out the nails holding the doll in place. There was a brief flash of light as the doll fell from the tree, and before my eyes I saw it get reduced to ashes and then nothingness before it hit the ground. I was confused for a few seconds until I remembered that ghosts, particularly vengeful spirits of any kind, tend to have power over anything involved in their deaths. A victim of drowning would have hydrokinesis. A victim of asphyxiation would likely be able to control something like their hair. So on and so forth. Even though I was still terrified out of my wits, I couldn't help but still feel remorse over the loss of this spirit's life. To die in such a young age in such a cruel way was indeed horrible. As I finished tapping wooden dowel rods into the holes left behind by the nails, I decided that I would do more than just leave an offering to the shrine once the repairs were done. Right after I finished my work on the tree, I turned around again, only to be somewhat taken back to find that the Teragami was no longer hovering over my shoulder like she had been moments before. Truth be told, as I approached the shrine, both of us were surprised to find that not only had the Teragami chosen not to attack me as I worried, she didn't even go near the shrine maiden at all. It was after we set up and lit some incense at the shrine that I decided to do one last thing before we left. Knowing that I still had rice over from one of our dinners earlier that evening, I filled it into a bowl and placed a pair of chopsticks in the center. Then I walked over to the village's old cemetery and placed the bowl at the front of the headstone that my friend ensured me was the Tetragami's, made another bow of respect, and turned to leave. Out of the corner of my eye, I could briefly make her out again, glancing back and forth between me and the bowl of rice. The light of her flames faded the farther I walked away, until I couldn't see her at all once we had made it out of the village. On our way back to civilization, the shrine maiden and I acknowledged what we had seen, and it dawned on me just how close I was to death. I figured that maybe this job was just a fluke, and that hopefully I wouldn't have to worry about coming face to face with yet another entity that could bring my life to ruin with the curse. I didn't realize until the morning after I got back home just how wrong I was. Things have felt off ever since I returned to my cozy little apartment. There have been a couple of nights where I'd woken up sweating due to heat, despite my thermostat being set at room temperature and it's currently being winter outside. No matter how much rice I buy, I've been running out twice as fast as I usually would have before, and I found hair that isn't mine in my shower and bathtub. On top of that, I sleep on a small single bed, yet it feels like I'm not alone in my bed during the night. There's even been times where I've sworn to have seen wisps of black smoke out of the corner of my eye, only to not have seen it when I look again. Until this morning, I thought I was just going crazy from stress, but then I was washing my face. I saw those same eyes staring at me from behind my shoulder in the bathroom mirror. Right at that moment, I remembered that some ghosts like to haunt specific people, often following them home from places they once were haunting. To be honest, I don't know what's more terrifying, thinking about how I might have unintentionally invited a very powerful, vengeful spirit to be my new roommate, or having to explain to my family why I'm now needing to gather supplies to build a small shrine in my apartment. My name is William, and I am being hunted by something. I have explored all the forests of America, but never in my life have I experienced a horror greater than the enigmatic Slender Man, and whatever it was is coming for me now. I was on my way to Mount Lemmon after I had returned home to Arizona. I have decided to make that my final exploration of the year, so I took my best friend with me to share the experience. When we arrived, we set up camp in a patch of forest close to our car in the road. The day went by fast, and too soon, night would fall. It was that night that we heard the first warning of our fate. After we had eaten dinner, we were settling down for the night. We heard something that sounded like the wail of an air raid siren, but it only sounded once, which troubled us. At first, I thought that the nearby city of Tucson was being attacked, but we heard and saw nothing in the south. Then we heard it again, louder this time. Because of the mysterious sound, we kept our lights off and our mouths shut the entire time, just in case it wasn't our imagination. The next day, we went to the mountains community to find out what that thing we heard was that night. We asked other people if they had heard it, searching things on our computers, even looking for similar instances in history or reference books in the library. But we couldn't find any answers. Except one. The only answer we could find, and that was at the end of the day, was an old man who told us that what we heard was the howl of a creature known only as the Forest Dweller. He told us that in ancient times, a group of native Indians had came to this forest region to perform a ritual of some sorts to contact their gods, but the product of the ritual was not a means of communicating with the native gods, but a monstrous creature which killed half of the Indians who had summoned it, and the other half were dragged away into an obscure portal to another realm. I never really believed the man's story, until that night. By nightfall, We had settled down in our tent, thinking of the old man's story of the forest dweller. While I slept, I had a nightmare of the creature itself, opening its portal and dragging me into it, though I could not see it at all. I awoke with a start. It was still nighttime. Before I could go back to sleep, I heard something that made my heart twist. An otherworldly bellowing roar. My friend woke up with a gasp of horror. Whatever it was very close to our location. Then we heard something else that made us stiffen to where we sat as still as statues. Multiple thick, heavy footsteps coming our way. It sounded like four people were walking towards us. When they stopped, there was a pause before something made of wood grabbed my friend and pulled him out of the tent. I rushed out to help him, but I was hit in the head by something thick and heavy. When my vision cleared, I saw it holding my friend. It was a horrific sight, completely made of wood, eight legs, a horrible smiling face, teeth like blades, claws like scythes. It took my screaming friend and sliced him to bits, sending the Gibbs into oblivion before it turned to me and reached out to me. I got to my feet and ran for it. The creature was chasing me, roaring as it lunged forward. I had managed to make it back to the car and drove off as fast as I could. I could still hear the creature chasing after me, but oddly enough, the mirror didn't show its reflection. Neither did the rearview camera. It only showed digital interference. As the forest faded from view, so did the roars of the forest dweller. But I had made eye contact with it, and I can't be sure of it. But I think it knows me, and now I can't be sure any place where there are trees can be safe at all. It's been 7 years since then, but I cannot get the image of that horrible wooden face out of my head. The nightmares are the worst. I could see the creature holding my friend. He's screaming for help. I cannot move. And in a single slash, he's gone and sent into the dark realm. Out of sheer fear, I cannot sleep, cannot go anywhere where the trees are thick, cannot look at spiders anymore, cannot bear to listen to howls or sirens. I don't know where it is. But I know that it's coming for me and that it does not give up when it finds a victim. The forest dweller is relentless, and it will not stop until it gets me. What I saw will haunt me until the day I die, which I hope is soon.